into a conversation with Donald Mousel. He never wanted to get into a conversation with anyone. "Just the paper?" Sid, the fellow who owned the newsagent, asked.
"Yes, please."
Sid asked him the same question every morning and received the same answer. It was practically a ritual, and George wasn't sure whether the earth might stop turning if either of them deviated from it. George paid for his paper, counting the coins out carefully, and tried not to read the headlines as he did so. Getting sucked into the story on the front page wasn't part of the plan.
"Straight back home, is it?" Donald asked. "Of course." "Doing anything nice today?" "I'll be working."
"Not retired yet, then?"
George forced out a smile.
"Not yet."
At 58, he had another 9 years to go before he could draw on his state pension.
"I remember them days," Donald said. "Used to get up at 6 every morning, regular as clockwork. Then it was off to the daily grind."
He sounded wistful, as though he missed it.
"My, how things have changed."
George wasn't sure whether the man was referring to his status as a retiree or to George's ability to work from home.
"I still do a spot of taxi work now and again just to keep my hand in when they're running short."
Donald nodded to himself and sighed.
"Looks like it's a nice day for it," he continued.
A nice day for what?" George asked. Was there something going on in Applewell he didn't know about? The village fete wasn't scheduled until later in the year. May Day had come and gone, and the next bank holiday was a couple of weeks away. All of those things were high points in the village's calendar, but none of them were imminent. Donald frowned.
"Today. It looks like a nice day for today," he clarified, leaving George none the wiser.
"Oh, good," George said.
Every morning he washed the shirt and underwear he'd worn yesterday and hung them out to dry, or draped it over the radiator next to his desk if the weather was inclement. A shadow flitted across his mind as he thought about radiators, but he pushed it away. With any luck, the spell of dry weather would hold for a while, and he wouldn't have to think just yet about the clanking coming from the ancient boiler when he turned the heating on. Therefore, he didn't. He was good at that. Compartmentalising things was a speciality of his. Everything in its place, and a place for everything, was a mantra he lived by. And why should the contents of his mind be any different to that of his house? He picked up his paper and turned to leave, but Donald was standing immediately behind him. The aisle was too narrow for him to squeeze past, so he stepped to the side and attempted to leave the shop via the confectionery aisle, but Mrs. Hayworth was blocking it with her pull-along trolley thing.
"All right, George," was her chirpy greeting to him. "Want to get past?"
"If you don't mind," he replied, anticipating she would either go to the end of the aisle or she could squash herself up against the pick and mix.
She did neither. She didn't move an inch.
"Next door has been sold, I see," she said.
"Pardon?"
"I said, the house next door to yours has been sold."
George frowned.
"Has it?"
The for sale sign had still been in its customary position this morning.
"Are you sure?"
"Definitely."
"Who has bought it?"
It had been empty for months, ever since old Alice Griffiths had died. Mrs. Hayworth took a step closer to him and leant in, her voice a conspiratorial whisper.
"Her name is Nessa Millbrook, and she's from England."
The latter word was spoken with some degree of suspicion mixed with annoyance. George suppressed a snort. Folks around these parts weren't too keen on people from away buying up properties as second homes, then hardly ever living in them, and normally he'd agree with the general consensus that second homers were bad for the community. But in this instance, he was pleased the house next door to him would only be used occasionally. He wasn't keen on neighbours, and his fellow villagers were far too nosy for his liking. The second homers were notorious for keeping themselves to themselves and not integrating, which suited him perfectly. And did you?